Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Please do stop by there. Take advantage of this, of the studies or and resources that I have there. And send me an email. Let me know how you're doing, what you think of the studies, any comments, questions, challenges, whatever you may have. I would like to hear from you. Today we're in the book of Proverbs. And we've got all the way to verse 7, the fear of Yahuwah, and it says in the King James Version, the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the Proverbs, most of the Proverbs work like this. You have a contrasting thing going on here. One is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The contrast to that is fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if you do not fear God, then you're a fool. Basically, that's what the proverb is saying, because you despise wisdom and instruction. And you'll see that in people who don't fear God. They do despise wisdom and instruction. Anyone tries to tell them anything, they swell up with pride against whoever is trying to instruct them, and they take it as a personal issue where someone is trying to say that they don't have understanding. Or that, you know, they just take it all on pride as a personal attack rather than a simple instruction. So there you have it. So you can, the fear of God, the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, Yahuwah, is the beginning of knowledge, or you're a fool who despises wisdom and instruction. You'll find practically that that is the reality of any situation. The author here, he goes on, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, a lot of people, they personalize the scripture as they read through it, but, you know, it's good to do that if you can and if it's appropriate, but it's not always the case. As with this, this phrase here, some could personalize it. If your father, the instruction of your father, and the law of your mother is godly law, and it is godly instruction, then you should not forsake it, because you should live a life of obedience, as the commandment says, that you need to obey your mother and your father. But if your mother and your father are wicked, and their instruction is to wickedness, well, then you should forsake it. Of course, now here, we have the author of Proverbs, who was Solomon, and the instruction of his father, of course, was David, and the law of his mother was, I believe she was the Proverbs 31 woman, actually, and we'll get to Proverbs 31, but her name was, how could I forget her name? David got into a lot of trouble with her, Bathsheba, that's it. Her name was Bathsheba. And, of course, now as he's speaking to his son, my son, hear the instruction of your father. So he's made, perhaps he's speaking of himself, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Well, I don't know specifically what or if he is speaking to one certain of his sons and which mother of those son, of that son he's speaking of. But like I said, you can't personalize everything. You have to understand, because everything that David did was not good either, and everything that Solomon did was not good. But they had that one thing going for them, that the fear of God, the fear of Yahuwah. And though it seems that they forgot that fear at times and did just terrible things, and who am I to judge them? It gives me hope when I see that David was an adulterer and a murderer, and forgiven, and still called a man after God's own heart, that, then I know my sin can be forgiven, that anyone can turn and be called a man after his heart. And what is a man after his heart? Well, a man after God's own heart is a man who desires to live a life that pleases our Heavenly Father, even though he may have failed terribly in the past, or in some instances in his life, but he's a man who also repents and accepts it when he is confronted with his sin and changes his mind. But we've learned also from those same examples that those people suffered. the consequences of their sin in the flesh. The retribution for their sin was terrible for David, especially because blood came on his household, and he was not allowed to build the temple. That was given to Solomon, his son, who had other challenges. But we all have our challenges, do we not? Or have had our challenges. Hopefully, my greatest challenges, at least in the area of faults, hopefully are behind me. I hope so. Have mercy on me, Heavenly Father. That's the kind of mercy I need, that most of those types of challenges and errors are behind me. Yes, I hope I've learned a little wisdom in the last 30-odd years. So he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." So grace, they can be grace or they can be chains about your neck. What does that mean? Chains about your neck. Yeah. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Now, those are pretty wise words. If sinners entice you, consent thou not. And, you know, it reminds me of Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of Yahuwah." Words to live by. Another great memory scripture, if you're going to memorize one, would be Psalm 1, the whole thing. Just wonderful words to not forget. And I mean, they apply to everyday life. But he says here, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son," the author continues, "walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Ah, you go, these are nonsense words, perhaps. You say, no one's saying, let us, no one is saying these things to me. Well, are they not saying these things to you? I've had these things said to me, and I didn't understand the words that were being said to me because they weren't said this glaringly, blatantly said to me. But they have been said to me. And I was, I was enticed. Even after reading this, I didn't understand. How about that? I didn't understand. But here it is. If sinners entice you, don't consent. If sinners entice you, do not consent. I could draw an illustration to that. Many years ago, when I felt the call from my Heavenly Father, from His Holy Spirit, calling me to ministry, and, I decided to look into it, and for some of the projects that I felt the Spirit calling me to take on, I was advised to go down and get me a state incorporation nonprofit so that I could get donations and tax-deductible donations from from the state. I could get that privilege, and that would fund my ministry. Do you know what that was? That was ungodly counsel. And I was even getting it from supposedly godly people. And perhaps they were genuinely sure that that was the right thing to do because that's what they taught. They were taught to do. Perhaps I have to say, perhaps it was my diving into Proverbs that gave me a little subtlety to try to understand what was going on. Because most of the people would have just gone off and go, well, how do I do that? You get yourself a lawyer or someone who's an expert at that, and you let them handle it for you. Well, I'm a kind of hands-on kind of man. So I thought, I wanted to be a wise steward of Yahuwah's money or everything that He's given me, because it's the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everything that, and everyone that dwells therein. Therefore, everything I own belonged to Him, and He gave it all to me, so I have to be a wise steward with it, right? And besides, I had the time. So I decided to look into it and see if I could handle this for myself. So I shipped a check off, because then we didn't have the internet. I shipped a check off to Nolo Press. That's a do-it-yourself kind of lawyer-type book company up there near Berkeley, California, Oakland, wherever. And they sent me back a book, How to Set Up Your Own 501c3 Corporation. So you could get, you know, you could have a not-for-profit corporation and get tax-deductible donations. So I was following the advice, the instruction I was given from godly people, only I didn't go out and get a lawyer. I got the book. And I started reading the book, and I started to see the subtlety of what was going on there. And the thought entered into my mind that I can't do this, because this isn't being a wise steward. This is taking what is supposed to be God's, what I'm deceiving people into thinking is going to God, and giving it to the state. And if this, and the state can change the rules at any time, because that's what I'm agreeing to. If I enter into this agreement with the state, they can change the rules at any time. And they, if they don't like my ministry, or they don't like what I'm doing, or they change the rules and I don't change, or what if the Holy Spirit wants me to do something that's outside of their rules? Then the law, the agreement I would be signing with the state, says that they can take the ministry and the properties and the resources that Yahuwah, God's people, have given me as a steward to oversee, that the state can give them, take those, that property and that ministry and those resources, and give them to someone else who pleases them. All of a sudden, I realized that if I enter into this agreement, that I have another master, and I can't serve two masters. That's what the scripture said. So there's a subtlety of a situation. So if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And those sinners will entice you through godly people who don't realize that they've been enticed by sinners. So if and they say, come with us. Let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without a cause. Well, certainly none of us would be doing that. None of us would knowingly do that, would we? Absolutely not. But what if we were deceived into doing something like that? I'm looking at Proverbs, verse 11. You know, the sinners have enticed me, and I consented. Yeah, that's right. They deceived me, though, because they told me, you know, because I was a young man, what, 19 years old, and I decided that I wanted to go out and get a job and work and provide bread, and then I could give some to help the poor, and I could tithe at the church, and I could help out the family that was allowing me to live under their roof, that had opened up their house to me because I was an orphan. And at 19, I was a young man, but still an orphan and living under another family's roof. So went out and got a job, applied for a job, and they said, you have to have a social security number to work. Oh, okay. That's all I knew. Social security number to work. So I went out and I signed an agreement for benefits. I signed an application for benefits, not understanding what I was doing. See, I was being simple. I was being simple-minded. I was acting without subtlety, and I wasn't understanding the subtlety of the situation that I was entering into. And what they were doing was getting me to go into an agreement where I was going to lurk privily in private. See, I wouldn't have to go and stick up people and steal from them now. I could do it privately. I could hide while the state did it for me. That's right. I could enter into covetousness and theft by agreement with the state, so that I would not have to go and stick up people and steal their life and their blood and their labor, so that when I get old, because I was signing an application for benefits to get a number so I could work. I was deceived. That's right. I was not going, what is this that I'm signing? Do I need to do this? And I certainly didn't pray about it. Heavenly Father, you know, should I forget your benefits and sign this agreement for benefits, this agreement where I give up my life and my labor for future benefits, where I have to give the first fruits of my labor to my new master. Ah, subtlety. But that's what it is. He says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Well, who is a sinner? Certainly. You know, all those people out there are sinners. Well, who is a sinner? What does the scripture mean here when it says sinners? If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Well, it says in the Hebrew, kata, a criminal, one accounted guilty, an offender, sinful, sinner. Am I a sinner? I see the bumper sticker, sinner saved by grace. Well, I'm no longer a sinner if I'm saved by grace, am I? Is my identity still sinner, or do I have a new identity? Am I guilty, or am I not guilty? If his blood is on me, I am not guilty. If I am by faith living in a life of obedience to my Heavenly Father, then his blood is applied to me, and I am not guilty. I am not a sinner. That is not my identity. Now, this sinner is, yes, I have sinned in the past, but my identity is not sinner. So I don't fit into this category. So who are the sinners? Who is being described here as a sinner? Well, it's those who do not choose to live a life of obedience to the Heavenly Father. It's those who have not entered into his kingdom, don't want to enter into his kingdom. It's those that do not fear Yahuwah. It's those that are fools because they despise wisdom and instruction. And if they say to me, hey, there's more to this here. Let's understand the subtleties of what's going on here so that we can act wisely. They say to us, come, let us lay wait for blood. They could say that. They could say, let us lurk privily. Let us do something private. Let us do something in secret to the innocent without a cause. So we're going to steal the labor and life of the innocent without a cause. And without a cause, there's without a just cause. We have no lawful authority or right to take something from someone else. That is stealing from the innocent without a cause, is it not? And if we're doing it privately, you know, by proxy through another organization or some device or through police powers of an image that we've created, such as a social security system or the IRS or the state of California or the U.S. government, we're still stealing if we're doing it by proxy. We've entered into an agreement. Let me ask you, how many of you, if you grew up in a family that derived their living from a protection racket, an insurance scheme, let's call it an insurance scheme. Let's say they went around to the shops in, Manhattan, to the little shops in the town there, and they subtly threatened the owners that they had to pay them insurance. And if you pay us, 10%, of your gross for the month, nothing bad will happen to your business. We will make sure that nobody destroys your business and that you will actually prosper because we'll make sure people come to your business. How about that? Okay, and so you find out about this. You didn't know about it. You were a young man and you didn't know about it. And you inherited this business and you still didn't understand it because people there were down lower and they're running it. And once you came to understand it, would it be okay to continue receiving benefits from this protection racket? Let's say that you became wise and you accepted Yahushua as your Savior. And you decided that I want to do that which pleases the Heavenly Father. And you investigated and you found that the benefits you were receiving from the family business, which were being run by other people, were from a protection racket. What would you do? Would you say, well, that's okay, because I really need the money, because I have, that's the way God is providing for me? Well, you have a state-run protection racket. Basically, that's what it is. It's an insurance scheme. And people, if they try to get out of it once they enter into it, they get beat up. Their property and their life gets stolen. Yes. while we privately take advantage and benefit from that system, to me, there's not much difference. That's why I can't take part in that, in any insurance scheme. Because if I have to enter into an agreement with sinners or ungodly people, and I have to have one purse with them, and here it says, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, and we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. And the preacher here in verse 14 says, cast in thy lot, they can do, cast in thy lot us among us. Let us all have one purse. So anytime sinners come to you and say, cast in your lot among us, let us all have one purse. What is the advice? What is the godly thing to do? My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. And you know what? The scripture says, forget none of his benefits. And I believe when you accept benefits from another government, another authority other than his government and his authority, that you've forgotten his benefits and you come to rely on the benefits. And I believe that it swallows you up. But cast in thy lot. So I could boil it down to, you know, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Anything that that applies to. Anytime you cast in your lot with sinners and you have one purse with them, here's what the scripture says. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. You know what that means? That means according to God's law, it is unlawful to take part in their insurance schemes. That's right. It is unlawful. His law says don't do it. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. We'll be back in a couple minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.